let's talk about the Bears Ears National Monument. I have to admit, sadly, to you, Regina, that I'm not super familiar with it. And what I do know, though, is that some areas were maybe put at a little bit of risk, and now there's a reversal in what they're trying to do as far as protections are concerned. So I guess what's making its way through Congress is something called America's Red Rock Wilderness Act. What does that really mean? Because people hear, you know, blah, blah, blah act, and they're like, oh, gosh, something else the government is doing. But this is something that I'm assuming you obviously feel has some very deep importance.
Absolutely. So Bears Ears National Monument is located in southeastern Utah, and it's 1.36 as of a few weeks ago with President Biden signing a proclamation over the landscape. So it kind of ping-ponged a couple of times. So originally in 2016, President Obama did it 1.35, and then later President Trump redacted those boundaries 85%, which basically took away some protection on some very sacred sites, ancestral Puebloan structures, and things of that nature. And one of the things that the American Red Rock Wilderness Act will help to provide is some sustainable support and protection over those areas. Although many may think of it as, oh goodness, the government is doing this, they're trying to tie up, close out, lock out, it really is, it has been initiated by people that care for the landscape, myself included, and I am not an elected official at time. Would I like to be? Probably not. That just seems like a stressful lifestyle. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact that these landscapes are very important and they mean a lot to my people, the Ute people in general, as well as many other Indigenous people. They also mean a lot to people who utilize and use public lands. But what we really need to be conscious of is how do we protect these beyond presidential designations? How do we try to move towards a more permanent protection and allow for other opportunities to be out on the land? So America's Red Rock Wilderness Act is basically proposing 8.4 million acres to be managed by BLM and has been introduced in both houses at this point. It probably won't go up for any hearings this Congress, but we're still going to take the opportunity to help people understand and become more familiar about the landscape and its ties to the Indigenous people and even of every citizen of our country. Public lands is public land. Public process is something we also have to protect within these types of pursuits. As well as, you know, I think that many times we just think that out of sight, out of mind. So if you don't live close to that, then you really don't have a say. But we do, as the public and as citizens of the United States, public process is something we truly need to protect within the systems that are currently set up.
It seems from the outside looking in, crazy that you're sitting there basically depending on the whims of Congress or whichever party's in the White House or what have you as to whether this land is protected or not, meaning that it's not just like, okay, we're going to protect this land and it's over, but it just winds up being extended, and that just seems crazy to me.
Well, you know, when you think about it, getting it protected within is one thing. That it's definitely not over, especially for those of us who live out here. You know, cultural ties to these areas, this landscape and those locations of the ancestral Puebloans and sacred sites where ceremonies, they're not dead places. They're definitely not a part of an archaeological study that, you know, theoretically puts pieces together to tell a story. These places are alive. Every time the Pueblo, the Hopi, the Paiutes, when they visit, they breathe life with every visit. And they talk. We talk to our ancestors. We let them know we have not forgotten them. This is a tie that is something that is well beyond the encounters of the European out into our country, because we believe that we don't own the land. The land owns us. We have a certain amount of accountability to these locations. We help to preserve the best that we can through working through the systems and navigating the governmental processes and agencies. It is not over. There is plenty of work that we do out here so that when people go on vacations and have opportunities to visit, it's here because we work so hard through these systems, but we also continue to live and utilize these places on a daily basis. And so it's here so that people can also visit the same locations and enjoy and utilize the lands in those same manners. That's the beauty of why these processes are in place.
So let me ask you this. When I look at the America's Red Rock Wilderness Act, and it's kind of a catch-22 because of your belief of how the land works, and as you said, all right, I don't really believe anyone really owns it per se, but I do have to work within the governmental process. Does this act go far enough, or are you happy with how it's turned out?
Well, to be quite honest, you know, our beliefs are we do our best within the means that we have possible, within the resources available. And that's for everybody that lives in rural America. We're not going to ever get everything we want because there's systems, there's processes that are in play. We have to do our best to educate ourselves and come to the table to negotiate to help others understand where we're coming from. And I'm not just largely speaking in terms of indigenous people. I'm speaking everybody. Everybody has a history and a tie to these places. How we work through it together rather than being those who refuse to work together. We don't accomplish things when we continue to have those conflicts. Where we accomplish things is making those negotiations and trying to work towards what it is that we are desiring and what our goals are. And so, you know, when you speak to that, is it enough? No. Is it ever going to be enough? Probably not, because there's many diverse land users that are out here, and we have to all figure out where that happy place is.
So you said you don't believe the most current session of Congress will take this up. When do you expect them to take some sort of action on this?
We are definitely always positively hoping that it'll always be the next. Mind you, the history of the American Red Rock Wilderness Act has been introduced in the past, and most recently when the Bears Ears National Monument campaign came up, the organization and many organizations kind of stepped back their pursuits of their own agendas and really got behind and supported the five tribal nations pursuing this to designate beautiful landscape that means a lot to all. So that goes to prove that collaborative efforts do and can happen. Success is on the forefront. It's just that we all need to step back some time and know when that time is to collaboratively work together instead of working in individual silos.
I know you've got other interviews to get to, but one thing I wanted to ask you is, are you concerned about widespread support? Because of, I guess for folks here on the East Coast, this is a place many have not been or even been near. And as as we kind of talked about earlier, out of sight, out of mind. And it's like, you know, is that really a big deal? We've got a hard enough time here in our part of Virginia for people to understand that they're in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. And that's only 100 miles away, you know, and here's something that is obviously a little further away. Is that a concern of yours?
Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons that I, like my other colleagues who really work hard to try to help people come to the understanding and just gain some knowledge about this. And if they're compelled or if they visit this area, to encourage them to reach out to their elected officials, because at one point, these elected leaders in our nation's capital are going to be listening and casting a vote, yay or nay, whatever that may be. I would rather like to have confidence in my elected officials of having cast an educated decision rather than shooting from the hip. And so this is one of the reasons we reach out to people, especially in areas that are not directly impacted, but may or may not ever come into these areas. The land is important, even west of the Mississippi.
Regina Lopez White Skunk, thank you so much for your time, your expertise on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you.